2 weeks ago, Elder Fred was up here, and he was ministering on Joseph. Well, the deal with Joseph, and his message was called, "It Could Be a Lot Worse." And we know that it can always be worse. But I was sitting there going, saying to myself, Elder Fred is stepping all over this word God gave me for this week. That's a good thing, because I like the fact that that shows us that God is actually moving in corporate anointing.
Amen. Yeah.
Where he aligns his preachers, his ministers, his elders alongside each other so that they can speak the same thing and mind the same principles. Amen. And that's what church is all about. And we have seemed to have forgotten that. The message today is called Dreamers. How many in here are still a dreamer?
Amen.
And we're still dreamers. I'm sorry, Sister Denise, you're going to catch the blues today with your camera. Okay. Amen. There are different type of dreamers. Amen. But just the same, God uses us in a supernatural way. Amen. My sister's here. I'm sure she won't mind me using her, because she was very instrumental in me standing here and being able to do what I do today.
Amen.
When I first had gotten to this church and I had decided I was going to, well, I didn't decide. God decided for me. You know, because I thought everything that was going on here was funny. Folks falling out on the floor. Folks talking in some kind of language. Don't nobody understand what they're saying. You know, I used to sit and just laugh. I said, "This is the funniest church I ever been in." But Pastor Hart had requirements. If you're going to work for me, you got to be in at least one of my services during the week. I said, "I can do that. I can just sit way in the back." Well, that didn't work too often, because the ministers would come all the way back there and get me. And you always knew when they were coming to get you. But nevertheless, that didn't stop my mess. And then I said, "Lord, I'm tired. I want to get right with you." Well, God put a dreamer in my life. Amen. I knew her because she used to babysit for me and my brothers and sisters. We lived right next door to each other. But time passed, and I hadn't seen her in a ton of years. And when I got to this church, she was the first person that I met. And I was like, "Oh my God." And I thought that was just going to be great. Little to realize that God was going to use her to help get my life straightened out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You'd be amazed at dreamers. Amen. So, you know, there was things I was doing and thought I was getting away with it. And Sister Sandy, or Minister Sandy, would call me. She said, "You know what? I was praying and I dreamed that I saw you doing this." And I was like, "Is that right?" And she was right, spot on the money. She didn't judge me. She just told me what God showed her. She didn't tell me what to do about it. She just told me what God showed her. Well, I said, "Okay, that's one time." So, figured I'd slip out again, Brother Sam. Had myself a good time. When I see Sis, she said, "You know what?" I said, "Oh shoot." You know, I was praying, I had a dream. And I saw you doing such and such and such and such and such. Yeah. And I said to myself, "This is getting a little busy. This is tripping." But see, the good thing about it is, after she told me what God showed her, that stuff stopped in my life.
Amen.
Well, you know, I have been trying to quit smoking. Quit for about 3 or 4 weeks. Get frustrated, get stressed out. Be back at it again. Well, of course, Sis was praying again. and she had a dream. This time it messed me up, Mother Rella. I said, God, you're telling me something now. She said, I saw you doing this, and from that day forth, I never picked up another cigarette.
Amen.
See, there's something about dreamers that have the ability to affect your life in a positive way.
All right.
How many hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
But then you have those dreamers just are busybodies.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that don't actually dream, they imagine.
Wow. All right.
Come on now.
Because if it doesn't do something to encourage or strengthen or to fortify you in your ministry or help you get to the ministry that God has for you.
All right.
It's all, that's what it is. Right, Pastor Keys? It's not a dream. I call it a delusion. Amen. Go to the book of Genesis, the chapter 37. Now, this is where Elder Fred was, and I was sitting on the edge of my seat. And I was jotting notes, and I was like, and it, I knew it was God, because in all my so-called infinite wisdom, Sister Judy, I had forgot to tell him that he was ministering that night. When I had assumed that I did. So I called Elder Fred up. I said, Elder Fred, you know you're ministering tonight. And he got really quiet. And he says, no, Pastor, I didn't know I was ministering tonight. I says, yeah, you are. I guess he figured from that point that I wasn't going to change my mind because I forgot to tell it. So, practicing being instant in season and, that means being ready at all times. He said, Pastor, I'll be right there. He says, I said, don't worry about your agent. I know you're getting off work. Just come on here and just bring the word. That's what's important. The word is important. If folks are busy looking at what you got on, then they're here for the wrong reason anyway.
Amen.
Amen.
So he was here, and he brought forth this powerful word about how things could always be worse. And Pastor Terry, I was sitting there listening, and I was like, he got that right. But nevertheless, we're in the book of Genesis, the 32nd, 7th chapter, and we're going to start somewhere around the 15th verse. And it says, and a certain man found him, and behold. Now that word behold is going to be very important. He was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, what seest thou? See, sometimes you can be a dreamer and still be a wanderer. Not sure about where you're supposed to be or what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. Just because God is using you don't mean you got the bottom line on everything. Amen. And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. Or Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, now they saw him quite a ways off. God will allow people to see you a ways off. You don't have to be in their so-called territory or area for them to know that you're coming.
Right.
It's just something about the power of God that radiates and manifests off of our lives that allows us to illuminate in a certain manner.
All right, man.
Now, don't get me wrong, just because you're illuminating don't mean everybody's going to appreciate it.
Amen.
Some headlights are good. Some headlights are bright. And some headlights are brighter. You might be one of them brighter headlights. You might be one of them headlights that folks have to turn their mirror to darken. Nevertheless, they said, and they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, the word behold is asterisk, or it means to pay special attention to. That means don't assume.
Come on now.
But no. I tell the ministers all the time, I said, let me tell you something. God don't need you to interpret his word. He'll interpret it himself.
Amen.
Just give him a chance to. But I keep reading and studying his word. He will interpret his own word. Because when we get into self-interpretation, that's when we come up with all this craziness.
All right.
So they started solving, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer coming. They didn't say our brother coming. But this dreamer. You know why they remembered his dream? Because in his dream he had told them that he would one day be ruler of much. Sometimes you better keep your dreams to yourself. They say, here comes this dreamer. Here comes this boy who decided that he was going to be ruler over many things. And that we would have to one day come to him, paraphrasing, to get food and to get what we need and to get raiment. I got news for him. He can't do none of that stuff if he ain't around. How many folks you know feel that way about you? They can try to take you out of here.
Come on now. Come on now.
All right.
But some of them got so smart, they're not going to shoot you with a gun or stab you with a knife. They're going to try to assassinate your character and your nature and what you represent in God because you're a dreamer. Amen. So here they are. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast has devoured him. And we will say, see what will become of his dreams. Sometimes you inform folks what God has showed you, what God has spoken to your heart. And it's good because it just don't affect you, but it affects them. But then they decide in their flesh and in their mortality, not their immortality, but their mortality, that they decide, well, let's see just how powerful their dreams are.
Come on now.
Because in most cases, when you tell people about your dream, it has to do with you. It corresponds with your character and your nature. It corresponds with your mindset. And most folks, I have enough knowledge and understanding to know that when you talk about your dreams, that you're normally talking about yourself.
Yeah.
So let me tell you something about the old nature. The old nature is a jealous rascal. He has this got a new battery in it too. He has a special invite on his own to try to make sure that your dreams don't take place.
My Lord.
You hear what I said? He has a special invite. He don't need you to invite him in.
My Lord.
Joseph never invited them in, but they decided they were to go in. So here we have Joseph looking for his brothers, and they're conspiring to throw him in a pit. When you look at the word pit and you think about it in the Hebrew, it deals with a place of darkness, a place of seclusion, a place that has been hidden from everyone. Well, I've been in a lot of, I tell you, my goodness, there's been a lot of times I felt like I was in a pit.
Amen.
All I saw was the darkness, pastors. But I held on to the dream.
Amen.
I know what God has spoke to my heart. Now, don't get me wrong, I couldn't see it. But I held on to it.
Man.
I was telling a story maybe about a man that was here. His name was Brother Boland. He was doing such a wonderful job, but he wasn't here very long because he made the mistake of telling them that I was supposed to be the pastor of the church. And I sat there and I go, oh boy. He lasted about 2 weeks. And he has vanished and we have never seen or heard from him since then. He was a fabulous teacher. He held a class on foot washing. You could imagine how many people showed up. And I said to myself, he has lost his everlasting mind. I had good reason to believe that. Because I had seen associate pastors fly in from Milwaukee, from Delaware, Missouri, Cleveland, Ohio, you name it, they were bringing in a different one every year. And I kept watching the ones that were here drop off. Because you get discouraged. But the only thing I could hear was, I put you there and I saved you from sure death and I delivered you and I put the right people in your life. That would help enhance the ministry that has been hidden in your life since you were in your mother's womb.
My Lord.
So I decided I was going to stay. Paid a big price to stay in. Even Pastor Hart tried to talk me into leaving. He said, you know what? They got jobs open in the Christ where I can get you there. I got a buddy that could hire you right on the spot, right now. I wasn't sure whether it was a test or what. I just wasn't sure. So I thought about that thing for a while. Whole week I thought about it. Man, plant, making all that money? Don't have to rub two nickels together no more? Man, big fancy car? And a voice within my spirit said, no. I turn around. I said, who said that? And said, no. I said, why? Because you are going to hold fast to your profession of faith. So I went back to Pastor Hart and said, well, what you come out with? I said, well, Pastor Hart, I think I'm just going to stay. Good deal. That's what I thought you was going to do. I said, so why are you offering me the job? That's my job. That's what I do. I said, okay. I think that very night, I had the strangest dream. I saw myself up preaching. And you know, you ever had one of those dreams where you preaching to millions of people? I know really none of y'all ever had that dream. You just preaching to millions of people. They fall out in the spirit, calling in tongues, doing all kinds of stuff. And then you realize that you ain't preaching to millions, you're preaching to 50. God said, what's the difference?
Amen.
But I had that dream. And I said, well, you know, I just had that dream because of such and such. But Joseph had this dream that he was going to do all this, but it cost him something. I tell you all the time, if you make up your mind in your heart that you're going to serve God with your mind, your heart, your soul, and your spirit, it's going to cost you something. And one guy had the nerve to ask me, what's it going to cost me? I said, you. Why do you think Paul made the statement, I must die daily? Because it's costing me something. It's costing me. Well, little Joseph knew when he had that dream that he was going to find himself in a pit, going to find himself sold for slavery. Then he's going to find himself in a house with a king whose wife was going to accuse him of messing with her. Then he was going to find himself in a dungeon. Then he was going to give a guy good advice from one of his dreams. The guy was going to take the good advice and go tell the king that it was his idea. Yeah. Yeah. So here Joseph is still in the pit. But he had a dream. And you know what that dream told him? Trust in God.
Come on now. Amen. Come on now.
That's right, man.
It's like we receive prophecy. We receive prophecy. You're going to do this and you're going to do that. But we think that we can do anything we want to do, live any kind of way we want to live, not study to show ourselves approved, fast, not fast and pray without ceasing. And we think that everything that's been given to us in this prophecy is going to come to pass. Don't you know your prophecy depends on how you serve God? Your prophetic word that you receive is your dream. So you hold on to your dream. Now, you're going to stumble. You're going to get beat up a little bit. You're going to be tried like a fire. But you hold on to your dream. Whatever God has told you, if you hold fast to that dream, it'll manifest and it'll come true for you. Now, you're going to have to put some tape on your wounds and all that kind of stuff. You could imagine I didn't have folks come by here and get mad because I didn't do the ministry the way they thought it should do it.
Come on.
Yeah. Didn't bother me now because I'd already figured since they weren't coming back here anyway. A lot of folks came through here because they figured we were still doing the same thing that Pastor Hart was doing. But we're not doing that because at that time, at the time of that transition, God had gave me a dream that we were gleaning and sticking and walking according to the word of God.
Amen, amen, amen.
I said, well, Lord, what's wrong? He said, let me tell you something. Listen to me carefully, son. This is God talking to my spirit through his word. Listen to me carefully. When everything else is gone, when the flower withers and the grass fades, the only thing that's going to be left standing is the word of God. So it's so important that you teach a word that gives my folk, give my people the ability to stand when they're not in church. To stand when they're around a bunch of fake folk trying to destroy their dream because they look into their heart and see that you see a dream of sonship.
Come on now. Amen.
Now God said we're all the children of God, but everybody now is son of God. The Bible says they that worship me in spirit and truth, for they shall be called the sons of God. It ain't a whole lot of truth in folks. See, what Joseph saw that a lot of folks just didn't see was that in his dreams, he saw people coming together. Not just, you know, we have all these different names on our churches and we call ourselves different things. But Joseph saw all everything coming together. Man. Joseph saw Presbyterian, First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Episcopal, all these different churches that call themselves different things, coming together, minding the same principle about all things. Yeah. God says you are the body of Christ, not individual churches.
Come on now. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.
The problem is we don't have the dream.
My Lord.
I was going to say, and Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. See, God will protect your dream. He uses the strange things to confound the wise. God says, let's not kill him. But let's just sell him a slave, which was just as bad. As we look at it, but look where he found himself, in the king's house.
My Lord.
A lot of times you're going to find yourself in the king's house. It just depends on how you get there. Sometimes you'll get there through pain. You'll get there through distress. You'll get there through anxiety, persecution, being perplexed. But as long as you keep your mind stayed upon Him, He'll keep you in a peace that will give you the ability and the knowledge to keep running this race.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And we're in a race. Folks will realize that only one person gonna win. How many heard that? Two people in the race, but only one gonna win. You know what that one is? That body of Christ, that believer. That's because we're dreaming the same things. We're dreaming about life after death. We're dreaming about our brothers and sisters coming together. We're dreaming about laying down our lives for our brother. We're dreaming about peace in each body and everybody's spirit. We're dreaming about folks being healed, delivered, and set free. Not according to what they think, but according to what the Word of God says.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Good word.
I'm a dreamer.
Amen.
I'm a dreamer. That's why we keep moving.
Amen.
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 Go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter, I think it's the second chapter. You know, I'm not sure about this. I should have looked it up, but I heard enough of it watching all the different news stations, but they called these young people who were brought over here with their parents or when they were young or they came with their parents while they were pregnant, they called them dreamers. They're here of no fault of their own, but nevertheless, they're here. Don't get it twisted. I don't get into politics and we're not going there. Never today. Anyway, they're here, no fault at all. Sometimes if you are a dreamer and you see things that other people don't see, you know why you see it? Because you study the Word of God. You meditate daily upon the things of God. You do the will of God by encouraging, uplifting, and rebuilding. Amen. You do the things of God. Well, that makes you a dreamer. You find yourself in situations and circumstances which are of no fault of your own.
Amen. Amen. Right.
But you know what God told me about that, Sister Brenda? I'll fight your battle for you.
Amen.
He said, if I can fight for you when you screw up on your own, most certainly I can fight for you when you just happen to be in it.
Amen.
So in the book of Acts, I think did I say the second chapter? The second chapter, the 16th verse. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon what?
All
flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall do what?
Prophesy.
And your young men shall do what?
See
visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall do what? They shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath the blood and the fire and the vapor of smoke. The sun shall be burned into darkness and the moon into blood before that last great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
When you look at the word dream, it's talking about, here in the Greek, it's talking about a middle voice. How many listen to that middle voice? How many even know what that middle voice is? Well, I'm going to let you in on the clue. That middle voice is that word God. But if you, I tell folks all the time, the only thing that can come out of a man is what's in it.
Amen.
And if you put junk in your life and not the Word of God, then junk is what's going to come out.
Right.
But if you put the Word of God in your spirit, then the Word of God is going to be that middle voice for you.
Amen. Yeah.
And it'll keep you giving, it'll help keep giving you life. Amen. So the middle one, and when it talks about daughters, it's talking about female. When it talks about the young men, it's talking about men under the age of 49. When it talks about old men, it's talking about senior men. Senior, not so much men that are of age, but of men that are senior in the things of God because they've been through a few things.
Come on now. Come on now.
What's that commercial I love, sweetie? Farmer's commercial. We know a few things because we've seen a few things. I like to say I know a few things because I've been through a few things.
Amen.
Believe it or not, I'm almost done, Brother Therese. You gave me a smirk. Always smirking. It says, shall dream dreams, which is different. Dream is middle voice. Dream is vision, the vision that can or manifest itself within the dream itself. Friday night, you were upstairs, correct? Yeah, first lady went upstairs, and I was downstairs, and I was meditating on this one word. Dreams. Just sat there in the chair meditating on that one word. And this was almost like its purest day, just like light. I found myself, listen to me, I found myself in the middle of Martin Luther King's speech. I was there. But I don't know if everybody saw what I saw. While I was standing there and I was looking around, not knowing whether anybody saw me or not, I saw men with collars on. I saw white men, black men, Korean men, Asian men, Arabic men, every type of lifestyle you could imagine was in that crowd. And I asked the Lord, Lord, why are you allowing me to see this? I saw black clergy, white clergy, African clergy. I saw clergy from overseas, clergy from England. I saw all type of things. And I'm looking at all this stuff and I'm trying to figure out why God is allowing me to see all these things. I'm meditating on dreamers. And then there was a particular part of his speech that stood out to me, and I had First Lady write it down for me. And it says like this: I still have a dream deeply rooted in American dream, the American dream. One day, this nation will rise up and live up to its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I had a dream. Well, I heard him say all that, but then something else started to take place in my spirit. When I saw him saying all that, I was saying, the Lord was showing me that that is more than just a natural speech.
Come on now. Come on now.
It is a supernatural speech. Folks fail to realize they think that he was just an activist, but he wasn't just an activist. He was a man of God first.
Amen.
Right.
First.
Right.
And he said, "I have." And this dream that he's talking about all men being created equal, is going to happen. Right.
Amen.
The problem is, folks expect it to happen today.
Right.
It's not going to happen today. Because there's still too much prejudice, hatred, and all these different things going on. I mean, not just white folks hating black folks or black folks hating white folks. I'm talking about dark-skinned black folks not liking light-skinned black folks and light-skinned black folks not liking dark-skinned black folks. White folks with tans not liking folks without tans. The dream that he had supernaturally was the dream that Jesus talked about.
Come on now.
That we shall all come together and be as one body.
Yeah.
And being interpreted, understood. church name, coming together to fellowship one God, one King, one Master, under the same roof. It don't matter what church it is, but we're calling on the same God. And we don't recognize that we are no longer an individual church, but we are a corporate church. Dream that the word of God is going to saturate our lives in such a way that it will cause folks when they come in contact with us to be saturated with the love of God. The dream that he had went far beyond borders and walls and men's unintelligence. But it went someplace like this in the book of Revelation. And I saw a new heaven coming down to replace the first heaven. And I saw a new earth coming down to replace the first earth. You waiting to get your mansion, you better get it down here. Got a dream, Pastor Keys. Shall all serve the same God in like manner. Not because my church is bigger than yours. Not because I teach a better word or you teach a better word than I do. But it's come together because that's what the Spirit of God has preordained. But the Romans, God said, I shall have a many member body who are just like my firstborn. But he didn't say it was going to be easy. Then we shall have the ability to prophesy to folks without even opening up our mouths. I can prophesy to you, Elder Therese, that life is life. In spite of what I'm going through, I can still show you life. I can show you that life is good because I can still have joy in the midst of turmoil. I can still lift up my hand when all hell is breaking out around me. I can still tell you that God is good and worthy to be praised in spite of the circumstances. Why? Because I have a dream.
Into the oneness that shall free forth and touch all.
hold means to call special attention to. Being a dreamer for Joseph represented purpose. Purpose broke down in the Hebrew and the Greek and used probably the same thing. It means intent or in order or teleos, the end of the purpose. Closing with this, think about it. Joseph was a dreamer. How much was a dreamer with Joseph? Joseph was such a dreamer. He told the children of Israel, when you leave this place, because he already knew in his spirit that they were going to be delivered, don't leave me here.
Amen.
Joseph had died, and they had wrapped his body in gaiter red.
Come on now.
When Pharaoh got tired of fooling around with Moses and Moses' God, he released the children of Israel from their, I'm not going to say bondage because they left bound anyway. Released them from their captivity.
My Lord.
When they crossed the Red Sea, guess who they had with them? Joseph. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Guess who they had with them? Joseph. When they got ready to cross the Jordan, which the Bible says was deep and wide, representing trial and tribulation, as they crossed, as the Ark of the Covenant went before them, the Word of God went before them, guess who they took with them? Joseph. And they buried Joseph. When they finally got to the land of Canaan and they buried Joseph, they buried Joseph right next to Abraham. You tell me he didn't have a dream?
Yeah.
Told them, don't leave me, and this is where you bury me. And when Jesus came and did all that he was supposed to do, and they thought they had killed him, but they had only given him new, fresh life. And he rose again, and they saw the different prophets walking through the cobblestone streets of Jerusalem. They not only saw Moses and Abraham, but they saw Joseph. Because Joseph was a dreamer. I got news for you. You better hold on to your dream so that when Jesus comes back, you find yourself in the place where you need to be, walking with Abraham and Joseph and Moses and all the rest of the prophets that have gone on before us. Come on and give God some praise. Do you have a dream today? Are there things and people and ideas and principles trying to stand in your way to prevent your dream from becoming a manifestation of who God is in you? Well, I got news for you. Keep fighting. Keep running this race. I'm going to run this race. And I'm running straight to Jesus. I figure if I run out of air, I'll eventually, if I have to do like the woman who had the issue of blood, or just grab hold of him and his garment. But I already know I ain't got to do that. You know why? Because my Bible tells me he's coming to get me.
Tell it.
He said he's coming to meet me, and I'm going to meet him in the air.
Amen. Amen.
And then when all is said and done, he's going to bring down a new heaven and a new earth.
Amen.
Amen. That which was started in the garden, which was hatred even among the animals and the creatures, will be done with. Because Revelation talks about the lion laying with the lamb and the adder next to the lizard, and each animal that were at odds with each other now laying with each other.
Yes, Lord.
Guess what that also represents? We as a people will no longer be fighting and bigger than one another. Yeah. We will come together and serve God as one body of believers. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So you get yourself ready for it. Get myself ready for it. Amen. Folks say, I wanted to come to your bowling thing yesterday, sis, but I've been done for 3 weeks. Man, I saw that. I was like, that'd be nice. I always like to try to beat up on some new folks. Amen. But you have to have a vision and see what God is actually doing in the earth. Yeah. We can't see it because we're so caught up with everything else that's going on.
Yeah.
God's in control. Uh-huh. Just because you can't see him in control, that's your fault. That is your fault. Amen. You know, we make the statement, we kind of sometimes we twist the word of God. We say, God is good all the time, but it don't say all the time. It says that God is good. Anytime you put all in there, you change the precept of the word of God and you put conditions on when God can move. The Bible says God is just good.
That's right.
And don't talk about a certain season. He's just good. Amen. Joseph said God is good. He didn't say all the time, he said God is just good. Because I know that one day I'm going to rise again.
Come on now.
I'm going to get up. And I'm going to see the Jesus that I've never seen before.
Amen.
Amen. So you better prepare yourself. Better hold on to your dream. And don't. And you know who our biggest enemy is? Don't say the devil. It ain't. It's you. You your biggest enemy. Ain't nobody ever stopped me from doing right but me. I spent a lot of time blaming him till he got tired of me blaming him and went to God and said, you tell that man that's supposed to be a man of God stop blaming me for his gas getting cut off and he paid bill. Lord, can you help me out just a little bit? Everybody stand. Just a little bit.